Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Beis. We begin about 10 lines down at the two das on Kuf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, where the words we quote from the Mishnah, Kalkola v'ha Evan b'socha. If you have a basket with a stone inside of it, so the Mishnah said you're allowed to go and carry that basket. Where it says, oh my, how are you allowed to carry the basket? Why don't we consider to have a kalkola that the basket should be a basis l'davar asur? It's a base for something that's asur. The rock is muktza. Rock is something that you aren't making normally under normal circumstances, if you're even able to. And therefore, the rock is muktza. It's in the basket before Shabbos started. It turns the basket into a basis l'davar asur. And a basis l'davar asur is not allowed to be moved. How are you allowed to move the basket with the rock in it? So Gemara says, the obvious answer, Amar Rabbi Baruchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking here that it's not just the rock in the basket. This basket is malaya peros skin and it's full of fruits. It's full of something that is not moksa, and that's more important than the thing that is moksa. And therefore, it's a basis ludover osur as well as ludover hamutter, and something that's a basis ludover osur ludover hamutter. So you're allowed to move such a basket. So that's a simple teretz. What it says, v'lishdinu l'peri, why don't we go and pour out the fruits from inside the basket, and then v'nishde l'evet. And the stone will also fall to the ground. And then you can put the fruits back in the basket. You don't have to carry the basket with the stone. Why don't you do that? So Gemara says, this is going like a teretz. We're going to say in a few moments in the Gemara, a little bit later on, Kidurbi Loya Omer Rav. This goes like the opinion of Loya in the name of Rav. We're talking here about, he'll say in that case in a moment, that we're talking there about Beperos HaMitanofin. We're talking about fruits that would be destroyed if they were to be falling onto the ground. Rashi explains, talking, for example, peres hamavushalim, the peres that were cooked, verachin, the very soft mode, kagon, for example, te'enim, v'tusim, various types of figs and berries, of anovim, or grapes, shimiyashlichim laris, if you toss them on the ground, yitanfenu, they're going to get ruined, they're going to get spoiled, they're going to get dirty, and therefore, in this situation, that the Gemara is going to say in a few moments, we talk there, the same type of akasha was asked. We said you couldn't do that there because the fruits would get ruined if you poured them out on the ground. So to avi hochanami, the peros hamitunofim. If you were to go and pour out the fruits with the rock over here, the fruits would be ruined and it wouldn't do you any good. That's why you have to go carry the basket with the rock inside of it. Morris says, wait, still the lead ne'arinu ne'aure. Why don't you just shake out the basket in a way that the rock will fall out and the fruits will stay inside? This way, you won't go and ruin these fruits. They're perishing too often. They would be ruined if they fell on the floor. But by shaking and adjusting the basket, you can make it that the rock falls out and the fruits stay inside. Why don't we suggest that you do that? So the gears on the side says, we had the words, you're right. Elo, Amar Chiyah Barashi, Amar Rava, we give a different teretz. Hocha b'kal kola, Pichusa askin. We're talking here about a basket that has a hole in it. And therefore, this hole, Rashi says, Shenifchez dofna, either the wall or shuleo or the bottom has a hole in it, and the rock is basically filling in that hole. And therefore, if the rock fills in the hole, the Evan gufa nasis dofin lekalkola. The Evan has become the basket, and therefore it's no longer a rock, it's not part of the basket. Just like you're allowed to move the basket with the fruit inside of it, so the rock has been bottled to the basket. It's no longer a basis of the rasser, it is the basis, and therefore you're allowed to go and carry the basket over here with the rock inside of it, because it is part of the basket, it's no longer a rock in the basket, it's now the basket. Now the girsa that we had was the word Ella, so this is coming to say it's Ella new teretz. Others don't have the girsa Ella, and they would say, no, that what we said previously is good. If you're dealing with fruits that are unable to be poured out for whatever the reason, you can't shake them out, can't shake the rock out, so then that would be a good teretz as well, that it's a basis ledover also, ulodover amutter, and therefore that would be permissible to carry. And that's how we, in fact, paskin. And women sometimes, when they have the candlesticks on the table and they want to move the table, they're going to need to move the table, so they put their ring or something important and expensive on the candlesticks, and in this way it becomes a basis of davar asur, davar mutter, and under certain situations you might be able to move it. Gemara continues by quoting the Mishnah. It says, metaltel in truma v'chulei. In the Mishnah we said that you can move truma that is tmeya with truma that is tahora. Again, for the same reason, that it's a basis davar asur or a basis davar mutter at the same time, and therefore you can move it. More questions this and says, Amar Chista Lo Shana. Rav Chista qualifies this and he says, Lo Shana Wele Shetahor Lamato Utumeya Lamala. The only time you're allowed to move the whole basket with both the Truma that is Tahora and the Truma that is Tumeya is that the Truma that is Tahora is at the bottom, and therefore you can't get to it. And the Tumeya is on the top. And in this way, the Truma Tumeya, which has no purpose on Shabbos, because you can't go burn it, which is the only possible use that you might have for Truma Tumeya, so therefore it's Muktzah, is on the top. And therefore you can't get to the Truma Tahora, and that's why you'll have to move the whole basket. But Rav Chisda says, if the Tahora is Lamala, if the good Truma Tahora is on the top, and the Tumeya is in the bottom, so what you should do is, Shakul Eil Torah, take out the Truma that is Torah from the top, you're not touching the Truma that's Tumeya at the bottom, and just leave the Shavuot Leila Tumeya. Leave the Truma Tumeya behind. Don't carry that basket. And now, take the Truma Torah, put it in another basket. And therefore, you don't have to carry the Truma Tumeya. And therefore, that's what you have to do. Rav Chisda says, you're not allowed to carry it if the Truma Torah is on the top. More questions is, it says, but it says, even if the Torah is on the bottom, why don't we say the same thing? Lishdinu, go and pour out the Truma that is Tumeya from the top. Continue and go take the Truma that is Torah from the bottom, and then you can again have exactly what you want. You can carry the Truma Tahora only without having to carry the Truma Tumeya. Where it says, this is the terrace that we gave before. Here's what we have it. Amar Rabbi Loi, Amar Rav. We're talking here. Rabbi Loi, Amar Rav says, Beperos Hamitun Ofin Askinon. We're talking here where you can't pour out the fruit. If you were to pour out the fruit, it would get destroyed and ruined, and therefore you can't do this, and it's not a potential choice or a plan that you could do to get rid of Truma, that is Tumeya, from this basket. Morris says, Meisve, wait a second, I got a question from the following Brysa. Metaltalin Truma Tumeya, Imatora. The Brysa states beferish that you're allowed to carry this basket that has inside of it Truma Tumeya with Truma Tahora, or alternatively, it has Truma Tumeya with Chulin, Vim Chulin, whatever the situation may be, Bain, and it doesn't make any difference, and this is the kasha directly from Chisda, it doesn't make any difference, Bain Shetahora Lamalo Tumeya Lamata, whether the Truma Tahora is on the top, or whether it's on the bottom, or Bain Shetumeya Lamala, or whether the Tumeya is on the top, and the Torah is on the bottom. And this seems to be exactly against what Rav Chisda said to you, to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda qualified, said it's only if the Tahora is on the bottom, and you can't pour out the top, because you just can't do so, that you're allowed to go carry the basket. But he said, if the Tahora is on the top, you just take out the Tahora. So here the Braisa says, not like Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda is an Amor, you can't go against the Braisa. So how does Rav Chisda explain this? Rav Chisda will answer this and say, Masnisin Letzorach Gufo. You know what our Mishnah is talking about? We have something here that's Osir. But you're allowed to move a Klish and Alach to Le'Isir, if you need it, Letzorach Gufo, if you need it for itself, or if you need it, Letzorach Makomo, for its place. So in this situation, Letzorach Gufo would mean that you need the fruits to eat. And Letzorach Makomo would mean you need the place where the basket is. So Rav Chisda says, our Mishnah is only talking about that you need Letzorach Gufo, where you need the fruits themselves, you want to eat them. But the Braisa, which says you can move it anyway, whether it's on the top or on the bottom, is talking about Letzorach Makomo. You need the place where the basket is. So even if you take out the Truma Tumeya, you're still going to have to move the basket. So you might as well just move the basket instead of doing this whole machination over here in order to get the Truma Tumeya out. Well, you're going to move the basket anyway, so just move the basket. It's easier. Whereas the Mishnah, you want the fruit, so therefore you can get the fruit if it's on the top. So just take the fruit without having to move the basket. Now, this is a doichak type of a teretz. He's saying that the Mishnah is talking about Tzorach Gufo, and the Braisa is talking about Tzorach Makomo. Why did he feel obligated to do this? So the Gemara asked this, my dochoke de Rav Chisda la'ok me'masnisa la'tzorach Gufo. Why did you pigeonhole our Mishnah to talking only about a case of Tzorach Gufo? You could have said our Mishnah is talking about Tzorach Gufo and Makomo. And why give the qualification that you did? So Rav Chisda was forced to do this, he says. Amar Rava. Rava explains what Rav Chisda did. Masnisin kavosi daika. Rav Chisda felt obligated to explain the Mishnah in the way that he did because of the following Mishnah, the one we're going to learn in the Amud Beis today, later in the Shir, the Tani Sefer, the Mishnah that we have in the Gemara aren't always together. In the Mishnah, they're sometimes together, listed as the same Mishnah, even though in the Gemara they're dafim apart. And that's because we sometimes will stop and analyze the first part of the Mishnah and then bring the quote Sefer in the Mishnah, they put them all together because it's really one Mishnah. In any event, it says on the Amud Beis, we're going to learn the Mishnah over there, what we call the Sefer, where it talks about Moz Sha'al Hakar. If you have money that's on a pillow, so what do? In this situation, you want to use the pillow, so Minare Sakar, you shake the pillow, they novels, and the money will fall off, and this way you can use the pillow. And we qualify that. But Amar Rabbi Bar Chanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Bar Chanan says in Amar Yochanan that we only allowed that lo shanu el tzorach gufo. That's when you bedafka want to put your head on the pillow. You need the pillow. So therefore, that's a tzorach gufo. That's why you're allowed to be menai of the money. But you're not allowed to move the whole pillow. But if you need the place where the pillow is, so then guess what? You can pick the whole thing up, metaltalo, with the money on it, golden olav, even though the money is still on it, you can pick it up. So the Sefer clearly is talking about a case of tzorach gufo and not tzorach makomo. So therefore, umi the Sefer or tzorach gufo, since the Sefer says menai, you're only allowed to shake it off, but you can't pick it up and move it. So therefore, mestama, the Reish is also talking about Reish nami tzorach gufo. And that's where Ruchis had to qualify our Mishnah to be consistent with the Sefer. The Sefer is talking about only you need the tzorach gufo. That's why you're allowed to menai it. So Ruchis says also that the Reish is only talking about the case where the truma tahora is on the bottom. And in that case, you're only using it tzorach gufo. That's why you're allowed to go and move the whole thing. But if the truma is on, Torah is on the top, so then you just take it off because it's Lutzorach Gufo. You can get the Gufo without having to move the whole thing. So that's why Rebbe Chisda, he reconciled the Reish and the Sefer to be talking about the same case, Lutzorach Gufo. But the Braisa, which permitted everything, that's talking about Lutzorach Makom. You need to place it with the basket. So you might as well move the basket. You have to move the basket anyway. So why shake off the Tumeya and then go take the basket? You didn't move the basket anyway. Then we quote the Mishnah. It says, Rudomer Af Malam V'chule. Rehuda says that if you had the single saw of truma that was mixed in with 100 of chulin, so you're allowed to go and remove one of them. It's not called masakin mono. You're not called fixing the rest. You can eat it. Even though it's meduma, it's a mixture of one of truma with 100 against it of chulin. Nevertheless, it's not called masakin when you give that one to the kohen. Versus amai, hoko, masakin. Why not? You weren't allowed to eat this beforehand, and now you're allowed to eat it. So why is it that not called masakin? Why is it any different than if you had tevel and your mafresh trumas and maizros, and now you can eat the remainder chulin? So you're not allowed to do that. It's called masakin mana. Why isn't this called masakin mana? The Gemara says, Rehuda, Rabbi Eliezer, Sirulei, because Rabbi Yehuda, who's the author of this in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to do this, holds like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. What did Rabbi Eliezer say? The Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Truma be'ena machta. He holds that Truma is considered be'en. Be'en means it's extant, it's separate. Machta, it's lying. So therefore, the Truma is considered, even though it's mixed in with these 100 pieces of chulin, the Truma is considered a separate entity. It's not considered really a full mixture in this situation. How do we know that? It's not. Because we learned in the Mishnah Trumas. The Mishnah Trumas says, if you have a saw of Truma, you have a certain measure of Truma that falls into Shinofla lepachos mineya. It falls into less than 100 of chulin. So therefore, the din is that it's not batel. Mi d'arai, so it's batel b'rov. But mi d'rabbanon, we say that you need to have 100 against it in order for it to be batel. So therefore, in this situation, the saw truma is now made all the other. Let's say you have, Rashi gives the example, if you have 60 against it, so now all of this 60 is considered v'nidmu. It's all considered meduma. And a non-kohen, it's not allowed to eat any of it. Even though there's only 161 over here of this mixture is considered truma. But we consider halachically the whole thing to be meduma. And therefore the whole thing is usher for a non-kohen to eat. But now, you have this one mixed in with 60. The nafal min hameduma. Now, one of these 61 pieces falls into another place, l'makom acher. So you first had the truma falling into this group of 60, and now one of these, now 61, falls into another group. So what's the halacha? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, midamas ketumas vaday. We view this 161 that fell in over here and now came out to be vaday truma. We don't say it's 161th truma, but we say it's vaday truma. We assume that all of them now have the status of truma, and this one that you're taking out is the one that fell in there. It's the vaday truma. And therefore, we view it as if it's a separate entity, the eina machta. And therefore, it's medameya. It will go, if it falls into 99, it will make all 99 of these other ones to be viewed as truma. In other words, we don't view it as only a 161th, and therefore, when it falls into 99, it's going to be bottle for sure. But no, we say it's viewed as one vaday truma falling into 99, and it's not batel. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, it's be'ena machta, and therefore it's ketrumas vaday. We view it as ketrumas vaday. However, the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say, no, you view it based upon the percentages. Ena meduma medameya, this 161th will only go and be medameya, it's now still less than 1 in 100. El lefi cheshbon, you have to calculate it out. So if this 1/61th over here falls into 99, so then the 99 are going to way overwhelm it, and it's going to be mevatele. That's the opinion of Chachamim. It's not be'ena machta. So therefore, now we understand the Mishnah. Review this says the reason why you're allowed to pull it out is because it's not considered a mixture. You're not being misakin anything. That one was separate from the 60 or 100, whatever you have, in the case of a Mishnah, the 100, in the case of what we just wrote down, the Mishnah from Trumos, the 60 against it. So therefore, it is not going to be considered that it's mixed in. It's be'ena machta. And that's why Rebbe says, as he does in the Mishnah, you can pull it out. Mor says, Emor the Shamas Lay. Wait a second. When did we say over here that Rebbe Elazar holds that you view it as Be'ena Machta? That's the Chumra. That's to say that it still retains its status as Vaday Truma because you're going to Chumra. But here, according to Rebbe Yehuda, Lekula, Mishamas Lay. Who says that he allows it to be Lekula? Because after all, you're now saying that you can pull it out and assume that you pulled out the Truma and that the other 100 behind it are now perfectly good. That's Lekula. Who says that Rabbi Eliezer holds Lekula? Maybe only holds Lechumra. So Gemara says, no, you're right. That's not a good teretz. So what is the reason that Rabbi Yehuda says you can pull out the one in our Mishnah and the 100 behind are allowed to be eaten and it's not called Masakin Mana? And Ludi Amar Rabbi Shimon. He holds, in fact, like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. What did Rabbi Shimon say? He did not. Rabbi Shimon said in a Mishnah Truma, it's a different Mishnah Truma. He said, what about the following scenario? If you have a saw of truma, shenofel lemeya, you have one saw of truma that falls into 100, and therefore it's batel. So you now have technically 101 pieces of chulin. A non-Kohen could technically eat all of them. As we said, the rabbis made a knas or a takana that you shouldn't have the Kohen lose out, so you give one to the Kohen. But technically, all 101 of this are in fact chulin. Now, before you had a chance to pull out one and give it to the Kohen, the lohisbik lagbia, and now a second piece of truma fill in. Now, if you look at the percentages, you have 2 in 100. 2 pieces of truma, 2 saw of truma in this 100 of chulin. That's if you look at it in the pure mathematical formulation. So in this situation, harezu asura. The Tanakhama says that we view this as 2 in 100. And therefore, it's asura. The whole thing is considered truma and a non-Kohen can't eat it. However, along comes Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, no, he's matir. You can eat this. A non-Kohen can eat the entire production over here. Again, he doesn't disagree that you give some to the Kohen, but he says the whole thing is not considered truma. And in fact, you just give to the Kohen his due share, but the rest becomes edible. Even though it's 2 in 100, he doesn't view it that way. Therefore, he must view it as a be'ena machta. He must view this in a situation that the entire truma is considered separate. So therefore, this one fell into 100, and the second one also fell into 100. We don't look at the other ones that are there. In other words, the situation, according to Rabbi Shimon, is that the one piece that fell in originally was batel, and the second saw that fell in is also batel in the same 100. The fact that there's one piece of additional truma there is irrelevant because it is be'ena machta, and therefore, our Rabbi Yehuda holds like this Rabbi Shimon. Where he says, no, that's also not good. Umimai, who says that that's the reasoning? You know why Rabbi Shimon says that we view both of them as being batel? Because Dilma Hasam Bahakam Ifli. This is what they're actually arguing with the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. The Tanakhama says, even though Afal Gav Denoflu B'Zeh HaChazeh, everybody agrees if two of them fell in at the same time, then it's 2 in 100. That's like 1 in 50, and therefore it's not batel. But the Tanakhama says, when the first one fell in, and it was batel, but then another one fell in. It's like chozer v'nir, like we have by chomets. It reminds itself, it reawakens itself, and now we say we have 2 in 100. It's not that it was 1 in 100 that was batel, and now a second one fell in, and it's 1 in 101 of chulin. But he says no, it's like chozer v'nir. The Tanakhama says even though afal gav denoflu b'zeh achazeh, even though they didn't fall in simultaneously, they fell in one after the other. We view it. Everybody agrees that they fell at the same time. They are not going to be bought 2 in 100. So too, even though one fell in and then subsequently the other one fell in, the Tanakhama says we view it as if they fell in at the same time. Because the bottom line is, you look at how much truma is in this mixture, and there's 2 parts of truma for 100 parts of chulin. So that's a 1 in 50 ratio. And we view it, in halacha, we view it as each one only fell into 50. 2 falling into 100. It's like each one falling into 50, and it's not batel, and it's considered truma. That's the Tanakhama's approach. Rabbi Shimon, the Savar, he says, no. What happened when the first one fell in? It was Kamaisa is batel b'meya. You have the one that fell into 100, it is batel. So what do you have? In halacha, you have 101 pieces of chulin, not any more truma. The truma's gone. It was batel. Now, when the second one falls in, so the second one falls in, it fell 1 into 101. We don't say the chos of inir. It now fell into 101 pieces of halachic chulin. Even though, from a biological point of view, from a physical point of view, there was a piece of truma there, but it's batel, it's gone. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, the reason why you're allowed to go and not have this whole thing considered as truma is because it was batel, but it has nothing to do with be'ena machta, and therefore Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah is, again, who is he relying upon? He can't be relying upon this Rav Shimon. It has nothing to do with his case. Why does Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah say when you have the one falling into the 100, you can pull out the one and it's not called masaking, it's not called that you're fixing the other 100 to be eaten? Where it says, Ella, you know what Rav Yehuda holds like? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He holds like the following Tanoic opinion, like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. What is that? The Tanya. We learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Mer, Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds the following. No se'ena besides that. When you have this mixture over here of one of Truma that got batel in the 100, so you have to give one to the Kohen. But how do you do that? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says it's adequate enough if you just, with your eyes, say, that's the one that I'm going to take off, and you don't physically separate it, and since you've separated with your eyes, in other words, you've declared with your eyes, so to say, that that's going to be the truma over there, it's considered that it's separated out, and therefore, v'ochel mitzaracha, you can eat from the other side without physically having to remove it. So Rav Yehuda holds like this opinion, Rav Shimon Elazar. Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah said, you know why you're allowed to go pull out the 100? Because technically, you're allowed to eat them. So therefore, you can separate them out. It's not a problem to take out the piece of truma, and you're not masaking the other 100, because technically, the other 100 were already misukan by your mind designating with your eyes, saying that one is going to be no sin be'enov. Besides that, I'm picking that one to be the truma. Therefore, the other 100 are chulin. Therefore, you can eat the other 100 even without it being physically separated. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Shimon Elazar. But the Gemara says, no, it doesn't. I'll show you that Rav Yehuda doesn't hold the Rishonim laws. We turn to Yom Beis to see why not. Because we have a Beferish Braisa that says that Rav Yehuda argues with Rav Shimon laws. What is that Braisa? The Tanya, it says, Rav Yehuda Omer, our Rav Yehuda says, Malin is a Meduma b'yechad b'meya, that you're allowed to go pick out the one from the Meduma, and then the other 100 are chulin. And that's not with your eyes. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, no seinenu b'tzad zeh, v'ochel mitzaracha. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is the one that just says, Hishita, you look at that one, you say, that's the one in my eyes that I'm picking out, and then you can eat all the others without physically separating them. So you see the Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So you have a kasha, how can you tell me that the Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is holding like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? So Gemara says, no. The Rabbi Yehuda is even more lenient. Understand that Rabbi Yehuda here, he's adifa mid Rabbi Shimon Elazar. What does he mean, he's adifa? So Rashi says, mekel tfei porta. He is even a little bit more mekel than Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says you have to designate it with your eyes. But Rabbi Yehuda says that if you don't designate it with your eyes, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, kiven diocho litain olav einav b'tzadzev l'ochel lecho b'tzadzev, that's enough. Lo yom misakin b'aloso malin. And Rav Yehuda comes along and says, you don't even have to designate it with your eyes. You can just think it. Just by thinking that that's the truma, that's enough. And therefore, you're allowed to go pull it out. So Rav Yehuda is even a little bit more makel of Shimon Elazar, but it's the same general idea. That's why you're not masaking, and that's why Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah says you're allowed to do this. It's not like being mafresh trumas and maisos from tevel. That you can't do with just thinking it. You have to do some sort of a separation to be mafresh the truma from the tevel and make it into truma and chulin, and that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. That's masaking morning. But here, you not really have to do anything, and therefore, it's already able to be taken, and that's why Rav Yehuda Mishnah says you can separate it out the way he did. Next Mishnah. Ha'evin shapiyah chavis. You have a rock, a stone that's on top of a barrel. So you want to get it off because the stone is preventing you from opening up the barrel. So what do? Mata altsida, you turn the barrel on its side, v'hino felis, and in this way, the stone will fall off. Good. Haisa benachovios, if this barrel, however, is near other barrels, and if you let the stone fall off, it may roll or hit another barrel and break it. So therefore, in this situation, what do? Hayzer ben Achavios, you want to get to the wine, but it's amongst a whole bunch of barrels, and if you tilt it and the stone falls off, it's going to break another barrel. So what do in this situation? Magbir, you'll have to lift up the barrel with the stone on it and carry it to a place where it won't fall off and break anything else, and then umata outsida, and then you tilt it on its side, and vino fellas, and the stone will fall off, and that's allowed. So you can pick up the barrel and carry the barrel with the stone, because it's not going to be able to be tilted to the side and have the stone fall off where you are. Similarly, now we bring that sefer that we brought down before. Mo shal kika, if you have money that's on a pillow, same thing. Minara sakar, you tilt the pillow, the hay noflos, and the money will fall off the pillow. And this way, you can use the pillow to lie on. The Mishnah continues and says, Ha'isa lov lishlesh says, if you have on this pillow lishleshes, Rashi says lishleshes is shum dover miyos, some disgusting thing. For example, you go roke, you have spittle on it, or tsoa, you have some sort of excrement on it. On the side, it brings down the girsa from the aruch that is tsoas tarnagolim. This is talking about you have a chicken poop over here on this pillow. So you want to get it off. You don't want to put your head on this pillow. So what do? You're not allowed to wash it because that would be washing a pillow on Shabbos. You're not allowed to be mechabes. So what can you do? Mekancha b'smarta. You can go take a shmata and wipe off this excrement, this tzoas tarnagolim, or this lichluch, whatever it is. But Rashi points out, below yitin ala mayim, you're not allowed to put water on it, because the usual case of a kar, the stam kar, is shel begedu, it's made out of a material, or beged, shriyosu b'mayim hu kibuso. And if you water, you put water on any beged, that's called kibus, that's called cleaning it, and therefore you can't wash this off with water. But if it's a material like leather, haisa shalor, if you have this excrement on this leather pillow, now a leather pillow doesn't absorb water. When you pour water on it, it slides right off. So therefore, in this situation, Rashi points out, we don't say shriyasan kibusan. In this situation, we say shriyasan lo zehu kibusan. Pouring the water on it isn't going to clean it. The water goes right off. So you're not cleaning the garment. When you pour the water on it, you will get the filth off it, the lishleshes off it, so that you're allowed to do. Ha'isa shalar, if this is a leather garment, so you're not cleaning the inner part of the garment, you're just wiping off the superficial external part. That you're allowed to do. Just like no difference in taking a smarta, taking a shmat and wiping it off, so too you can take water and wipe it off. So if it's ha'isa shalar, nosin alamayim ashatikla, you can pour as much water on it until it cleans off this lishleshes, until it cleans off this lichluch, this garbage, this excrement, and that's allowed with a leather type of a pillow. Gemara starts off and says, Amrav, Huna Amarav. Funa says the name of Rav. Lo shanu ela b'shochayach. When do we say that you're allowed to tilt the barrel to get off the stone? That's only if you didn't realize that the stone was on the barrel. You put it there, you put it down there for whatever the reason on Tuesday, and you forgot about it. And now, when it comes to Shabbos, you say, ooh, I want to get my wine, but there's a rock on my barrel. Then you're allowed to go tilt it to get it off. But if you placed it there on purpose, on Friday afternoon, you put this rock there. Abu Beniach, you put the rock there, it was windy, and you wanted to make sure that the barrel cover didn't blow off, so you put a rock on top of it. So if you put it there intentionally, Abu Beniach, then what have you done? You've made the barrel and the barrel cover into a basis l'davar aser. Now it's a basis l'davar aser, and now it's not allowed to be moved. It's not a basis l'davar aser l'davar mutter. There's nothing else on top of this barrel other than the rock. So therefore, it's a basis l'davar aser, and you wouldn't be allowed to be metaltel it even to get the rock off. Now we quote the Mishnah. It said, "Haisa ben achavios v'chulei." If, in fact, this barrel with the rock on top of it was amongst other barrels, so then you're not allowed to go. You can't go physically and shake it off because it could break the other barrels. You'll have to pick it up and move it to another area where it won't break any other barrels, and then tilt it and have the rock come off. Now, Man Tana, who is the author of our Mishnah, who says, from our understanding of the Mishnah, as we just said it, that you have a choice to move Heter or to move Issa, you must move the Heter. The Kol Hecha, the Ika, Yisur Vetera, if a situation comes up where you can move something, and you can either move the permitted, the item that's a terah, or you can move the item that's iser, that you have in this situation, behetera tachina, you must deal with the heter, be isura lo tachina, and you're not allowed to deal with the iser. That's clearly what happened in our Mishnah, that you pick up the barrel and then carry the barrel and tilt the rock off it, rather than just picking up the rock and taking it away. So you had a choice. You could have picked up the rock and taken it away, or you pick up the barrel and shake the rock off it when you get to the place where you want. So you could have picked up the rock, which is the Isura, but instead we tell you to pick up the Heterah, the barrel. So who's the author of our Mishnah that holds like this? So Amar Rabba Bar Chanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba Bar Chanan says the name of Yochanan. You know who the author of the Mishnah is? It's Rav Shimon Gamliel. This is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel that we learned in a Mishnah in Beit. So did not. The Mishnah in Beit says, if you're a borer, kitnis miyamtiv. If you want to go and separate out the beans that you're using on yantiv from the schmutz that's with the beans, so what should you do? How do you do borer on yantiv? So Beishamai's opinion is, Beishamai omrim, borer ochel, you separate out the ochel, take the beans out from the schmutz, the ochel, and then eat the beans. That's the way you should do it. Beisil omrim, Beisil says, if you want, borer kedak, you could do it in the normal way that you would be borer, which would normally be to take the little bit of schmutz out, and then you have the whole meal in front of you. If a person has something in front of him, and he likes it, so he will remove the little schmutz that's there and then eat it. So that's borer kedarko. That's what Basil says. On Yantiv, you can be borer kedarko. And as well, if you want, you can do this borer becheiko or besamchoi. You can do it in your cheik, in your lap, or in a samchoi, in a large plate. You're not allowed to go, the Mishnah there says, you're not allowed to go do a specialized instrument like a sieve, a kavra, that you can't do, but you can do it in this shinui dikaway, becheiko u besamchoi. That you're allowed to go and do. Now, Tanya, the Brisa, there comments and says, Omer Rishon Gamliel, Rishon Gamliel qualifies as it says, Bamedvar Mamurim, what is Beis Hillel's opinion actually holding like? That Beis Hillel says that you're allowed to do it, Borer Kedarko, that's Sha'olcha Merub Ala Psoles. When you have so much food and only a little bit of schmutz, you have only a little bit of the psoles, so in this situation it's easier for you, and because of our desire that it should be less Tircha and Yantiv, we allow you to pull out the one or two pieces of impurity over here, rather than removing all the good, the ochel, and leaving the psolus behind. That's when you have ochel merub ala psolus. It's easy to remove the little bit of psolus because you have a lot more food. However, avo psolus merub ala ochel, you actually have a lot of schmutz there, and there's one or two little beans in there. So then, even Beis Hillel holds divrei hakol borer ochel. You take out the ochel, and you don't move the psolus in that situation. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah sounds like it's this divrei hakol case. Borer ochel. Our case is similar, analogous to where you have a lot of ochel and you have little psolus. You have one rock. So instead of moving the entire barrel, which is the ochel, so just remove the rock. So isn't this what Beis Hillel said, that when you have the psolus is merub ala ochel, then you can move the whole thing. But in the case where you have the ochel merub ala psolus, so then remove the psolus. So here in our case, why don't we say that you can go and remove the rock and leave the ochel behind, the good stuff behind. Shmuel says, hochanami. No, you're right. This is exactly what the case is in our Mishnah. Kivan di iboy lemishkal, because if you want to take the wine out of this barrel, you're eventually going to have to tilt the barrel so much to get the last drops of wine out from the solus that's at the bottom. So in this situation, you essentially have to lift the entire basket in order to get that last drops out. So lo mishtakil yayin ad shokala. You're not going to be able to get all the wine out until you lift up the barrel. So you're going to be obligated to lift up the barrel. The Bach takes out the word le'evin, because you're not lifting up the evin, you're lifting up the whole barrel. Ad shokala, until you go and lift up the entire barrel here, that's the only way you can get the wine out. So therefore, it's kipsolis merub ala ochel dami. And in fact, it's a situation where the psolis is more is larger than the ochel, because you have to lift up the whole barrel to get out the ochel at the bottom. So therefore, this is actually like the case of the psolus being more prevalent, and in the situation where the psolus is more prevalent, so then you go and move the whole barrel rather than the larger amount of psolus, which would be to take off the rock itself. So you're going to have to move the whole barrel anyway, so therefore you're allowed to go and move the barrel and tilt off the rock rather than picking off the rock, because you're going to pick off the barrel anyway. Then the Mishnah is quoted and it says, Haisa ben chavios magbia. If it's next to the chavios, so then you're allowed to go and lift it up and carry it someplace else so you don't break it. Now, we already quoted the Mishnah before. That's why I'm assuming the first time we quoted this for the Mishnah, it was in brackets, maybe to suggest that that was the right place for it. Here's not the right place for it. In any event, we re-quote that same part of the Mishnah again. So, Haisa ben chavios magbia. When it's amongst the barrels, you're allowed to go and lift it up with the rock on it, carry it to a safe place, and then tilt it off. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rav Yossi Omer. Rav Yossi said in the Braisa, Haisa chavis munachas biotzar. If you have this barrel that's in a big storehouse with other barrels, so, or alternately, shayu klei zechuchis munachim tachteo, or if you have lots of glass vessels right nearby over there. So when, in this situation, you tilt the rock off from the barrel, it's going to break the other barrels, or it's going to break the glass utensils. So then, the Braisa expands on our Mishnah and says, Magbila Mokamacha, you pick up this barrel with the rock on it and bring it to a safe place, and then, Umatal Tzidah Vino Fellas, then you tilt it on its side, and the rock will fall off, and it won't break any glass, because there's no glass over there, and it won't break any other barrels, because there's no the other barrels over there. And then, Vino Tulimena Masha Tzartlo, and then you can take out whatever wine you need from that barrel, and even Umachziro Limkoma, and you're even allowed in that situation to go and pick the barrel up and put it back to its original place. That's what the Braisa expands on our Mishnah. Then we quote the Mishnah, which says, Mo Shalakar, if you have money on the pillow, so we said you're allowed to shake the pillow, the money will fall off, and then you can use the pillow, but you can't pick the pillow up in this situation. Ruchia Barashi said name of Rab. This situation on Mishnah was only talking about, we already had this in the Omer Aleph, that's when you left the money there accidentally. You didn't place the money there. You put the money there on Thursday afternoon, and then you didn't use the bed on Friday night. You forgot the money was there, and now you come, you want to sleep on it on Shabbos, and there's money on your pillow. So you shake the money off the pillow, and you sleep on the pillow. That's Tzorech Gufo. If you intentionally placed it over there, so then it becomes Nasa Bosel Dover Aser, and you're not allowed to go and move a basis davar aser. You created that pillow as being a basis davar aser, and therefore you can't move it off. Furthermore, Amar Rabba Bar Chanan, Amar Yochanan, another statement that Rabba Bar Chanan said in the name of Yochanan, this is what we had on the Omer Aleph, Loshon L'Tzorech Gufo. That's when you specifically need the pillow only to sleep on. So that's L'Tzorech Gufo. But if you needed the place where the pillow was, Avo L'Tzorech Bekomo, the pillow's on a couch, and you want to sit on that couch, and you don't want to sit on top of the pillow, so then you need the place where the pillow is, so then Avo L'Tzorech Bekomo, then Metaltlin Vodin Lovin, then you don't have to shake off the rock, because he lifted up the pillow anyway. So therefore, you're allowed to go in this situation and pick up the rock with the pillow with the rock on it, Metaltlin Vodin Olov, and this you're allowed to do. That's what Rabbi Rechana says in the name of Yochanan. And this is in fact, L'Chein Toni Chia Barav Midifti. So too, Chia Barav from Difti taught the following Braisa, Lo Shanu El Lazarek Gufo. That which we said you're only allowed to tilt the pillow to get the money off it, that's when you want it to lie in the pillow right there, and it's Lazarek Gufo, like we just said. Avol Lazarek Bekoma, but if you need the place of the pillow, then Mitaltlin, you're allowed to pick up the pillow with the rock on it, Volden Olav, even though the rock is still on it. Now again, it's strange. We quote the Mishnah again. I'm not sure why. Most Shalakar Manar Bechule. We're again quoting the same Mishnah that we quoted before. It's unusual. We have this twice on this daf. I don't understand why. In any event, Amr Vashaya, Ravashaya says, Shochach Arniki Bechotzer. If a person forgot his wallet, his Arniki is a container with money usually in the Chotzer, so what should he do? He can't bring it inside. So what can he do to bring it inside in a legitimate way? So Ravashaya says, you know what? Maniach Aleakar, put a loaf of bread on top of this wallet, or Otino, could put a large junk child. Obviously, he's talking about a big wallet. Maybe it's an attaché case or something like that. And then Umatakla, then you're allowed to move the wallet, because you're moving the wallet with, the money inside of it, but you're also moving the tinok, or the kikar, the loaf of bread, and that you're allowed to do. That's what Rav Hoshaya says. Or Rav Yitzchok, Rav Yitzchok says the same thing. Shachach levena b'chotzer. If you forgot an expensive brick, the levena is like a building brick, but it's mukzah, because it's only used for building. But it's out in the chotzer, and you don't want it to get rained on, whatever it may be. So then, do the same thing. Menich le'o kikar, put a loaf of bread on top of it. O tinok, or put a child on top of it. And then, matatlo, then you can pick up this brick with the child or the loaf of bread on it, and move it, no problem. Similarly, Amar Yudah Bar Shilo, Amar Vasi, the following mice occurred. Pamacha shachru diskia. A diskia is do sack. It's like a double sack. And therefore, you forgot this sack that was Malaya Mo's Bisracha. And it was left. You forgot your bag with money inside of it in this public sracha, like a public highway. So obviously, you want to get your money back, but it's Shabbos. What are you supposed to do? So they asked, Ubo v'sholos v'yochan. They asked, Yochan, what are we allowed to do? But Amar Lemi, he told them, do exactly this. Go put a loaf of bread on top of this diskia, or tinok, or put a child on top of it, and then you have the hefty because of the loaf of bread or the child to tell Tulua and pick it up and bring it into a safe, protected place. Amar Mezutra, Mezutra said, Hilchasa, the halach is kikol hanishmaisa. We passing like all these cases over here that we just brought down, Rav Hoshaya, Rav Yitzchok, and the case of the Rav Yochanan Paskin that was brought down, Rav Yehuda Rav Shila, Amar Rav Asi. We passing like all of them, but only if it was forgotten there. If you forgot the diskia there, you forgot the levain in the courtyard, you forgot the arniki in the chotzer, so then, if it was forgotten, you're allowed to do this. Right now says Rav Ashi Omar Afilu Shachach Namilo. He says, I don't understand. I don't think that this heter is a good heter, even in the case of Shocha. I understand if it was Munach, if you placed it over there, so then you put it over there, you can't take advantage of these coolers. But he says, even if you didn't put it over there, you forgot it over there, Nami lo, you're still not going to take advantage of these. Because the only time we said the idea of putting a kikar on something or putting a tinok on top of something, the lo amru kikar o tinok, we only said that elulamei spilvad. That was a special cooler. We had the Gemara, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech. David died on Shabbos. How can we do this? He said, put a kikar or a tinok, and then you can move the dead king. So we said a live small object is better than a great dead lion. So in any event, we had the Gemara earlier. Now the Gemara tells us, Rav Ashi says, that therefore we only allowed this kikar or tinok kula to be used for a mace when you had no choice for the mace. Who says you can use it in all of these situations? Nevertheless, Abaye manach kapa akipe. Abaye had a similar situation, and he put a kaf, which is, Rashi says, a tarvat, some sort of a ladle or a spoon, or a utensil of some sort. He put it on top of the omrim, on top of these sheaves. So he put this kapa akipe, and therefore he could move all of the bundles, all the sheaves over here. Rava banach sakina. Rava did a similar type of trick. He put a knife, which is not mukta, abar yona, on top of a raw Yonah that had been shechted before Shabbos, and he was able to move it as well. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, said, ooh, these guys think they're so smart. Abaye and Rava, they were Tamidim of his. He says, oh, Kama Harifa, Shmaizis or the Dardiki. These young Tamidim Chamin think they're so smart. Rashi points out, Sovrim Haim Shem Harifim. They think they're so smart, but in fact, they're doing something that's wrong. Why? Because when did the rabbi say you're allowed to do this? That's b'shocheach. That's only in a situation where you forgot it over there, but not in a situation where you placed it there on purpose. Now, they had put this, either this the shechted Yonah, or they put these omrim, these sheaves over there. They had placed them over there intentionally. So we had only said, we only said you could take advantage of this kula, according to the opinions that said you could, when you left it there accidentally. But who said you're allowed to do this? Here, they're doing it. So Abaye and Rava are wrong. But Abaye and Rava said, no, we're actually right. Abaye said, I didn't even have to do that. If it wasn't for the fact that I'm a choshev person, people are going to see what I do, and they're going to go and learn from me, and they're going to think that you can do this without any sort of a shinoi. I could just move the sheaves in, so I specifically put the kappa, the ladle, or the spoon on top of these bundles of grain. I did that because I'm an adam choshev. Ilav the adam choshev, I know, kappa keep you lonely. Why would I have to do this? Hachazi lemizga layu. This wasn't muktza. These sheaves, these bundles, are actually not muktza. I could, if I wanted to, sleep on them. So therefore, they technically were not muktza. So I went, lifted him, Mishur Sadim, and I put this kappa, this ladle, or this spoon on top of it, so people say, ooh, he's doing something to make sure that they don't make a mistake. But I technically didn't even have to do that. And Rava said the same thing. I'm a Rava. I know, if it wasn't for the fact, Ilad, the Odm Choshev, that people are going to see what I'm doing, they're going to make, Chas Hashem, make a mistake. Sakina, Abar Yonah, lovely. Why did I have to bother putting the knife on top of this Yonah? It was perfectly edible beforehand. People eat raw Yonah, and therefore it wasn't muktza. People aren't going to know that. They're going to make a mistake. Ooh, they see I put a knife on top of it, though. Remember that the Yonah might be muktza. But I didn't have to do this at all. Now, the Gemara says, that implies time of the chazil umza. The only reason the Rava said he had to put the knife on it was for this marisayin, that people shouldn't mistakenly learn the din. Implication being that that's because it was chazil umza, because you could eat this Yonah raw. Implication, hello chazil umza, but if it wasn't edible, so then lo, then it wouldn't have been allowed to be moved because it was muktza. But that implies that he holds the din of muktza. The name of the Rava could review this relay, that he holds the din of muktza. But we learned, Vama Rava, Lishame, Rava told the Shamish, Tavi li bar avza, go and roast a goose for me. It was on Yontif when you're allowed to go and roast this goose. Ushade umeye lishumra, and go and throw the intestines over here, the inner parts, the me'el, to my cat. And therefore, it was before Yontif, it wasn't edible for the cat, and now on Yontif it becomes nolat, and yet he holds like Rabbi Shimon and says, even though it's nolat, it's not muktza, and you give it to the cat. So therefore, he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda holds muktza, he holds like Rabbi Shimon who doesn't hold muktza. Gemara says, no, that's different. Hossam over there, if you leave the intestines out, even the mitzvah, it's definitely going to spoil if you leave it out in the hot Mediterranean sun. So daite ilav imeyesmol. So he has making it, so to say, beforehand, even before it was shechted. And in fact, tochanami mistabi, this makes good sense. The Rava Rabbi Yehuda is like, because in general, Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And he in fact holds it smoked, so unless you were making it. And in the case of the intestines, he was making it from the day before. Where do we see that Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda? The Doresh Rava, because Rava in fact paskins, he's darshan in the shir, ishalot sikonis leveso eitzim. A woman is not allowed to go into a woodshed in order to go take out wood for firewood, lito man wood, in order to take out a piece of the wood there, but not to use it as firewood, but to use it as a stick to go and stir your coals, to stir your oven. The wood shenishbar, and this wood, if it in fact breaks, it's a keli, this wood, and therefore the woman is not allowed to go there and take a piece of wood which wasn't meuchad and use it for an ud, which is a kli. And if you have a kli of a ud, shenishbar, and it's broken, also lasiko b'yomtev, you're not allowed to go and burn this on yomtev because it has the status of shivrei kelim. Lefisha meisikim mekelim, because Yehuda holds muktzah, and he says that this wood in this woodshed is considered muktzah because it wasn't made as a kli, and it was out of your mind, you weren't planning on using it, so it was muktzah. That's the classical example of a muktzah is a beis ha'etzim. So therefore, the wood is not allowed to be used as a kli, and a kli that you have is a kli, and you're only allowed to burn a kli when it's intact, because then it's muchen as a kli, so you can use it as a kli, you can use it as firewood. However, the aim is seeking mishivrei kelim, and you're not allowed to go, and if it breaks, now it's no longer muchen, according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Shimon, it is. Oh, you clearly see that Rav paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, shma mina, this is in fact a good raya, Rav paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. With this, we conclude today's share.